Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first song this morning before the prayer will be 614. 614. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up. And He will lift you up. When we've been there 10,000 years, when we've been there 10,000 years, by shining as the sun, by shining as the sun.
Shall we pray? Our most kind and gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving unto us yet another day, giving us another day to live, Heavenly Father. For we know that it was you that rises from our beds this morning, and we're thankful for this opportunity to come together on this first day of the week and to partake into this worship service unto you. Pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that you would be with all the mentioned sick of the congregation, that you help them recover. We know how important our health is to us, Heavenly Father. Pray that they will receive the care and the treatment that is needed so that they may be recover swiftly. We also pray at this time that you will be with the Skylar family, be with little Skylar as she is recovering from her injuries. Pray that you will bring her through this difficult time in their lives, Heavenly Father. We also are thankful, Heavenly Father, for all thy blessings, Heavenly Father. We have truly realized all the things that we have taken for granted as we try to deal with this crisis that we are experiencing with this coronavirus. Realize that we have so much to be thankful for, Heavenly Father. We don't want to be in a situation where we only appreciate those things when they are taken from us, Heavenly Father, that we will always be thankful unto you during the good and during the bad times, Heavenly Father. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with the many people across this country that are have been afflicted by this virus. Pray that you will pull them through. Pray that that a lot of us, that we will be able to remain healthy, Heavenly Father. And you be with the many families that have lost loved ones, that have been devastated by this virus, Heavenly Father, that you will comfort them during this most difficult time. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we as a people, that we can, as we deal with this crisis with the coronavirus, that we deal with all this civil unrest, pray that we can look to you as an example, that we can become a better people, that we can learn to treat each other better, to look out for each other, Heavenly Father. Pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that you will be with our brother Norman as he prepares to bring us the lessons this morning. We know that he has taken a lot of time to prepare this lesson, and we pray that we will give to him our full and uninvited attention, and that we will use what we learned today, that we can apply it to our daily lives. Pray that you will be with the leaders of this congregation as they continue to assure that our worship service unto you is according to thy will, and that as they have made so many preparations, all the people that are making sure that every time we attend service that we are safe, we appreciate all their efforts. We pray that you continue to bless all of those that are in attendance today, Heavenly Father, that you'll watch over us, That you will keep us safe as we begin this new week, that you continue to forgive us of all of our sins. Watch us and guide us. For these things we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
First and last.
I heard an old, old story, how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his precious blood.
About 200 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, this country tried an experiment. It's called American democracy. And in doing so, to win our freedom from England, we fought a war, better known as the Revolutionary War. And many men died in this war in order that we might be able to celebrate each year their sacrifice in giving their lives that we might obtain this thing we call freedom in the United States. Now let's go back to another 2,000 years, and even a bigger event happened. In this case, we had a prophet, a priest, and a king that went around teaching about the kingdom, that it was coming. And it was coming a lot sooner than people realized. But they mocked him, they cursed him, they beat him, and in doing so, they ended up crucifying this man, this king, this Lord. And he bled on the cross. He died, and in doing so, he rose from the grave. And in doing so, he conquered death. And in doing so, we, if we call upon his name and were baptized in his blood, we became his children, heirs to his kingdom. What a wonderful blessing that we have, because we were not worthy of such a gift in doing so. And all he required of us to do is to remember him on each first day of the week. So just like many events in history that we remember, the biggest one that we ought to remember is Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection, because we, in turn, have been saved. We are the redeemed, the heirs to the kingdom. Let's bow to God and thank him for the wonderful gifts that he has given to us. Father, we thank you for the bread, which represents your son's body that was beaten, his flesh torn. We thank you that on the cross he gave his life, that we might be able to be with you in heaven, be able to speak with you. Father, it's not only a privilege, but a true blessing that we are able to commune with you this morning as your children. We thank you for all the blessings. Our cup indeed overflows. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us give thanks for the cup. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son who made that ultimate sacrifice for us, who shed his blood and died for us in the remission of our sins at the cross. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we do pray, and amen.
The song of invitation this morning will be number 925. Let's mark 925 as the song of invitation. And before the lesson this morning, we'll stand and sing number 635. 635. All those that can stand, please stand.
Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. Father,
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Proverbs. That's Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. And I have the New King James translation. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad.
Good morning. Truly God has been good to us once again. He has spared our lives to be able to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Once again, it's just good to see each and every one of you. And we again want to thank you for your cooperation that you've given us on last week that was trying to get everybody out of this facility. And you was very cooperative with the ushers and as keeping moving forward. So we just encourage you to continue to do that as we're adjusting to some new things we have to do for safety reasons. So y'all just continue to pray for the leadership as we continue to gather together to worship God in spirit and in truth. My granddaughter won't make sure that I remind you that we'll be, Lord's willing, be leaving early in the morning, heading to Kearney, Nebraska to join with her parents. They'll be leaving from Texas there to be able to pick her up. I know she's just so happy to see them. We're just so happy to see them. But y'all just pray that you have a safe journey and they have a safe journey as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings. Lord, as we are now going into our word, your word, Heavenly Father, that we focus upon your word and we know that it has to power to save souls. We just pray that the things that we say, there can be an encouragement to each and every one that is listening this morning. And Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to just think, many of you maybe have experienced this. You went somewhere. Maybe you went to shop and maybe you were just at home, and then you get in your car, and you realize all you hear is a click. It won't start. And especially if you're in a parking lot, and you got your hood up, and somebody comes along, and they say, "Do you need a boost?" That makes you feel good to realize I got somebody that's going to help me out. And we know today now that they got technology, that you got a thing that has cables on it, and you can charge your phone, you can charge your light, and so you can boost your own self. And so we want to talk on the subject this morning, do you need a boost? We all could use a little more encouragement in our lives. We get run down, we get disheartened, and we wonder if we're doing what we're doing really amount to anything. We could all use a little boost every now and then, not no energy drink, because that would help, but that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that boost. There are times that we need a helping hand. There are times that we need a pep talk. And some synonyms for boost is improved, make better, advance, To give someone a boost means that we are lifting them up. We are encouraging them. When we give someone a boost, we are supporting them. We are inspiring them. We are motivating them. We are building them up when they knock down. And so this morning, I just want to address three questions. This morning, in dealing with this question, do you need a boost? The first question is, why is encouragement so uncommon? Well, because number one, people are jealous. And I'm certainly not going to encourage you when I'm jealous of your accomplishments. Also, because of my jealousy, when you fail at something, I'm happy about it. Therefore, not only will I not be an encouragement to you, I will probably be kicking you when you are down. Because in my mind, you need to be taken down a peg or two. When I can tell that you're feeling down, my thoughts would be, serve you right for thinking you are all of that. When people are jealous, encouraging someone is probably the farthest thing from their minds. But then the second thing is because people are discouraged. One of the reasons people are discouraged is because they haven't been encouraged very much throughout their lives. And because of this, they have become pessimistic in nature. People who are discouraged are waiting for somebody just to encourage them. Somebody just to give them a little boost. But then maybe because it's easier to point out someone's faults than their abilities. It's easier for us to focus on what you are doing wrong than what you are doing right. Why? Because one reason is because of our unrealistic expectations. We think people should be at a certain level. When they don't perform up to our standards, we light into them. Maybe because of pride and ego. When I highlight your faults, it makes me look better. I'm not going to encourage you. I'm going to gloat. I'm going to view your faults as a beneficial thing for me. Complimenting you will not make me look good. Highlighting your shortcomings make me look better. And so we find these uncommon encouragements. But then the second question is, why is encouragement necessary? Number one, because it can make a big difference. When you look at Proverbs 12 as our text, in verse 25, he says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Proverbs 25 and verse 11, a word aptly spoken is like apple of gold in settings of silver. Receiving a word of encouragement is as valuable as receiving silver and gold. William Arthur Ward said this, flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. ignore me, and I may not forgive you, but encourage me, and I will not forget you. Having somebody to believe in you can make all the difference in the world. Someone who has the abilities and willingness to see beyond the problems and see the potentials. This is a person that changes people's lives. But then, because it helped people to finish strong, wouldn't it be great that if we could come alongside our brothers and sisters who have messed up and help them recover spiritually so they can finish strong? Everybody messes up. Don't be sitting here thinking you're so holy you mess up sometime. Everybody mess up every now and then. Even Christians. But I found out we don't have a very good reputation how we treat them. Someone has said that the Christian army is the only army that shoots is wounded. That really needs to change. If we are going to win battles, if we are going to finish strong. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29 says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We are fighting in a spiritual warfare. And if we don't build each other up, if we don't encourage each other to resist sins and fight the enemy, there will be casualties. We need to understand that we have a fight on our hands. There's a fight between what Satan is after us, and we don't need to be fighting one another, but we need to be encouraging one another. We need to be lifting each other up. But then the third question is, what if no one is there to encourage me? Well, in 1 Samuel 30, and verse 6. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. But in the latter part it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. When we are not being encouraged by others, people are talking about us, stoning us, we can still be encouraged by encouraging ourselves. We have to learn to boost ourselves up. We got to learn to encourage ourselves when others won't encourage us. We need to be careful not to allow people to assess our value, our worth. I need to look to God for that. God says you are somebody. You are a child. You are made in the image of Him, and that makes us somebody. We are worth something because Jesus died on Calvary's cross. And whether others acknowledge my abilities or not doesn't mean I'm not doing well. It doesn't mean I'm a failure. It doesn't even mean no one appreciate or recognize them. Therefore, just because it's gone unspoken doesn't mean it's gone unnoticed. Jesus knows what you do. God knows what you do each and every day. And so that's why you have to have the power of positive thinking this morning. Where do you get it? I'm glad you asked. You get it from the scripture. You get it from the word of God. God gave us the Bible to encourage us. Well, how did this work? Why should I say I can't when the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the strength? Philippians 4:13. Why should I accept being defeated in life when the Bible says that God always lead me in triumph? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Why should I feel like I'm ignorant or uneducated when God promised to generously give me his wisdom when I ask for it? James 1:5. Why should I worry and fret when I can easily cast all my cares, all my anxieties on Christ who cares for me? 1 Peter 5:7. Why should I feel alone when God says I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Hebrews 13:5. Why should I surrender to Satan when he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world? 1 John 4:4. Why should I feel lost when I know that God will supply all of my needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus? Philippians 4:19. Why should I fear at all when the Bible says that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind? 2 Timothy 1:7. Why should I be afraid of difficult people, negative people, circumstances, when the Bible declares, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8:35. In all of these things, we are more conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. And if this isn't encouraging scriptures, I don't know what is. We got to learn, y'all. The word of God is there to lift us up when we're feeling down, when we're feeling sad, when we're feeling alone. God's word is there to inspire us, to help us to go on. So as I close, I want to suggest to you, there are two kinds of people. There are basement people and there are balcony people. Let me say that again, y'all might mean. There are basement people and there are balcony people. Let me explain. Basement people are the discouragers in our lives. They may be people from our past or present, but their words go with us everywhere we go. They are the negative influences in our lives. Basement people cause a room to light up when they leave. I'm talking about basement people. But in contrast, thank God there are some balcony people. They are people who are full of love. And they cheer us on. They encourage us to be loving, courageous followers of Jesus Christ. They sit in the balcony of our lives like a heavenly cheering section saying, you can do it. You press on. You keep going. God will be with you. He haven't brought you this far just to leave you. That's balcony people. Balcony people would say, we believe in you. You are special to us. Balcony people are the great encouragers in our lives, and we all need them. Balcony people try to lift people up to where they are. But basement people try to drag people down to where they are. And so here's the question that I leave with you. Are we going to be basement people? Or are we going to be balcony people? There's no question to which one God wants us to be. God wants us to be encouragers. He wants us to be balcony people. And I want to say this, and this lesson is yours. If you can't find anything good about people, to say about people that can lift them up and not tear them down, don't say anything at all. You ought to be balcony people. You ought to be people that'll go out and lift somebody up. And I suggest to you this morning, let us all go out and give somebody a boost this day. Somebody is waiting for your encouragement. Somebody is about to give up. Somebody is going through some hard times in their lives. And you might be at that point, at that particular time, just to give that person a lift and say, it's going to be all right. You hold on. God is a God that sits high, but he looks low. He knows what you need even before you even asked. Let's go out and encourage somebody today. And if nobody comes along to encourage you, learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Because the Bible is full of encouraging words that can help you to go on. If you're here this morning and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm encouraging you today to give your life to him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life on Calvary's cross. So God done his part. Jesus done his part. Now it's up to you to do your part. God left a plan that we all got to follow. You've heard a portion of God's word. Believe it to be true, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Go down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6:3-4. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then the Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2:47. What church? The church that he set up on his rock I build. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. What church? The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. Acts 20:28. What church? The church that he's the head of. He's the Savior. He loved it. He's coming back for it. It's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But it's going to be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:22-23-27. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. Revelations 2:10. You'll receive a crown of life. If you're here in a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, maybe you have been that basement person. Now, be that balcony person. You go out. You encourage somebody who's looking for a Savior. You can be that encouragement to tell them, he's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, but I can tell the world, wherever I go, that I found a Savior, and he's sweet. I know. Let us stand.
God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. We're so thankful, Father, that we can be able to come back assemble in person, Father, and see our brothers and sisters in Christ as we worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Our Father, we're thankful for the sermon this morning brought to us by our brother Norman. Father, we pray that as we go about our lives, Father, we'll always remember to be able to drop that encouraging word on somebody, even if we don't know them, Father, for we know that we all need encouragement. And we pray, Father, that we'll all continue to look to Thee and Thy Word, Father, for any needed encouragement that each of us might need, Father. Our Lord, we're mindful of all those who are sick, Father. We pray that You continue to wrap Your arms around them, Father. Comfort them, comfort those close to them, Father. And if it's Thy will, Lord, that they might be restored to their normal portion of health and strength. And our Father, we also want to thank You for all Your many rich and tremendous blessings of life that You've given each and every one of us, Father. They're too numerous and many to count or even begin to contemplate, Father, but we indeed recognize that all these things flow from Thee, and we pray that we'd always remember Thee and thank Thee for them, Lord. And fathers, we're getting ready to depart here this morning, Father. We pray that You would continue to wrap Your arms around each and every one of us, Father. Continue to watch over us, guide us. Continue to forgive us of our sins and shortcomings as we repent from those things, Father, and turn away from them. And we pray, Father, that You would bless us all to be back here at our next appointed time, Father. And we ask these and all things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.